Let's turn, all right, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're reading from verse 1 to verse 10. We stand in reverence to God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to verse number 10. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, responsively until we finish at verse number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible reads, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it." Verse 2. Verse 3, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that it may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers, thy fathers, had promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Verse 4. It's so automatic, right? When we read the next one, verse 5, okay, I think I'll read verse 5, you read verse 6. Okay? "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might." Verse 6. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Verse 8. "And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Together on verse 10. "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, our heavenly Father, one who loved us so much, one who loved us immensely, one who love us to the point that he would give his only begotten Son to die for our sin on the cross, so that our sins can be washed away, so that on the third day when he rose again, we can partake of the life, the resurrection life of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have given us fathers. You yourself are Heavenly Father. Lord, and I do not believe it is a coincidence that you will use the parallel of a father to help us as men to understand what kind of Father you are. Holy, loving, caring, compassionate. And God, I ask you today to give us a special blessing in our heart to understand your word with regards to our personal relationship with you, both as fathers and Father also, Lord, collectively, of every one of us as your children. For those who have not trusted Christ, Father, I pray that you would work in their hearts to understand why it is so crucial to have Jesus to be their Savior because of sin, that they might have their sins forgiven as well, and that we can have the privilege of you being our Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you, bless this hour as we open your word. I ask you to help us to be patient in our spirit as we hear you. And God, I pray that your heart will be, you will show us what you mean in these words in terms of our relationship with you. Bless every father today. And God, I pray that you would burn in every father's heart today a resolve to know you personally, that they might guide their house in a way that will honor you. A house that will love the wives and mother and the children, Lord, will be in submission to you. Thank you for what you're going to do. We ask you to speak to us in a special way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I had some special things for the mothers, and I'm going to have some special things for the fathers as I begin, all right, this message today, and hopefully we'll just kind of start off. These are a little bit serious-minded with regards to how a father should actually be living his life in a family, all right? I'll just read through a few. Just listen, all right? "Well-trained is the son who can hang on to his father's words as well as he can catch a ball." Well-trained is the son or the daughter who can hang on to his father's words as well as he can catch a ball. And we have a lot of very good people who play ball, basketball, or tennis, and they can catch the ball very well. But well-trained is a son who not only can catch the ball, but catch the father's words, whatever the father will teach them. Happy will be the child who cries because his father loves him. You know what it means? Happy will be the child who cries because his father loves him. Okay? The Bible tells us that there's, when we withhold the rod, it means that we do not love our children. But if we actually deal with them firmly but lovingly, please understand, spanking, refers to spanking, is not to vent our frustration. Spanking is actually to teach them there's a consequence to sin. And so for us, we must be very clear what a spankable offense and what is something that we just rebuke, okay? A good father shows the value of a book as well as a buck, money. A father not only will teach, instruct the child in what to read, what to study, but also will teach you the value of money, value of time. Thank God for fathers who not only give us life, but teach us what to do with it. Think about that for a while. Thank God for fathers who not only give us life, but teach us what to do with that life. And it's so important, is it not, in this day and age in which we live, that, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of absent fathers from many, many families. But God has a different plan. As we look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1 to 10, Moses is preparing the children of Israel to go into the promised land. Okay? Moses is giving the children of Israel the law the second time. If you remember, the first time, the law was given where? At Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. By Exodus chapter 32, the people was engaged in sin. And when Moses came down, he literally threw, the Bible says, the Ten Commandments of God, and it actually killed 3,000 people at that instant because of their rebellion against God. The people wanted Aaron to build a golden calf, and God judged them. In one day, 3,000 people died. And now as Moses prepares the children of Israel to enter the promised land, they will be going into a land. This is important. Moses is preparing the children of Israel to go into a land surrounded by heathenism, surrounded by idolatry, surrounded by orgies and immorality of every kind, a land surrounded by the hated practice of child sacrifice among the Baals, which is basically they would produce children and they would sacrifice it to Baal, fire sacrifice. And the Baal would be a monstrous idol with metal hands. Underneath will be the fire that will be burning. And what the children of Israel who participated in that with the heathen in the future from this Deuteronomy 6, the land people would put the child screaming onto the hand until the child dies. That was child sacrifice in those days. A practice that is still today in what we call abortion, whereby the child's life is taken away. An extremely wicked, cruel, and hated practice. Moses was preparing the children of Israel to go into this land. Fathers, it's not just the world we live in. It's not just a culture that we live where there's so much corruption. There's so much sin. You know, the newspapers every day is about the, I think the latest is this civil defense chief being sentenced to 6 months imprisonment for corruption. Or someone who is supposed to have intelligence, someone who is supposed to be smart in the things of this world. Immorality increasing. I shared with those people who come for a Sunday Bible hour, Dr. Ng Yen Hen, in a report 2009, every year in Singapore, 2,000 teenage pregnancies. That's a scary figure. That means it's 8 every day. 8 every day. And this trend has been consistent over the last 10 years in Singapore. Immorality. selfishness and self-centeredness, the worship of self, the culture in which individualism is celebrated, the care of selves is more important than what is truth. We live in dangerous times where our children and sometimes even ourselves are being sucked in into a culture that will not give up its wicked ways. By the way, Singapore is going to get worse. Okay? With 600 churches in Singapore, such a small area, you would think that we will be a very Christian nation. But you know what? That's not true. That's not true. Fathers, what are we to do? What are we to do as fathers? All of our fathers here, I believe, have heavy hearts for our families and our children. But what do we do on this Father's Day? I want us to look at what God told the children of Israel to do. And we want to understand 10 principles that Moses highlights in order for the children to be ready, children of Israel to be ready to go into the promised land. But although it's called the promised land, remember, the land was still dominated by sin, the Canaanites, full of idolatry, and full of things that would draw the Israelites away. Lest people want to say, Brother Johnny, that means you're preaching only to the fathers so all of us can sleep. Please don't. Because every principle that you will find is applicable to all of us. But God specifically deals with the fathers through Moses, because you will find that when the instruction is given to the entire nation of Israel, the heads of the family are held responsible. And they are the fathers. Listen to the scriptures in Deuteronomy 32 verse 45. I think you may have that printed out. Deuteronomy 32 verse 45, the significance of this. The Bible says in verse 45 of chapter 32, Moses made an end of speaking all these words to Israel. The word Deuteronomy means second law. Okay, so the second time Moses gave the children of Israel. In verse 46, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify unto you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. Verse 47, it is not a meaningless thing, it's not a vain thing, it's not an unprofitable thing for you, because it is your life. It is your life. And through this thing, ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Moses, in this phrase, told the children of Israel, you are to set your hearts on every word of this word that I've given to you, because it is your life and living. Do you realize that the Bible teaches every principle for every types of interaction that we have on earth? Example, child and parent. Ephesians chapter 6. Example, how are you supposed to work in your office? Colossians chapter 4, about how servants you are to obey your masters, and the masters don't abuse your authority. The Bible teaches us all areas, because God says, the word I'm going to give you. See, God who created life gave us an instruction book. And God expects us to study it, and so that we can use it in our life. And Moses reminded them, this is your life, and it will actually bless you as you observe to do these words. Remember, some of them say that I don't have to listen to this because I'm not a father. Remember, fathers, I'll just read some verses. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11. God holds fathers responsible. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. You can follow along in your verses. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You realize that many times it's the Lord God of your fathers. It's interesting, recent statistics show, that when a father attends church and brings the children along, about 70% of these children, when they grow up, will still be in church. But when only the mother brings the child to church, from 70%, it goes down to 19%. You know, even secular research, or rather this is actually a research by a Christian group, shows that when fathers take charge of who the God is to be in the home, the influence is much greater. Not saying that the mother's influence is less, it's just that God has given the responsibility on the fathers. And God also gives special grace for fathers to fulfill their responsibility. And sometimes mothers fight a losing battle when fathers don't take charge. They try all they can, but naturally the children will look to the fathers because they're the head. And so that is the important thing for us to bear in mind. In this passage, we want to learn five principles for our relationship with God, fathers, and of course for the rest of us, we can also apply. And then five practices in your relationship with your family. Okay? Today, we're not going to go through all 10. We're just going to go through the relationship between the Father and God that we need to have. But of course, this is also reflective of all our relationship with God. Next week, we'll deal with five practices that we must have in our families so that our family will be strong, right? Today, we'll just be talking about the principles of our relationship. Now, I'm asking God to make this passage real to us because I think we all know Satan is in an all-out war to destroy everything that is good. Everything that the family stands for, God stands for, Satan is out to destroy. And that's why we need to be careful. But you know what? I want to say this, that Satan, if they cannot damage us, fathers, we might be strong in Christ. You know what the devil will do? He will go for a second best. If he cannot damage us, he'll damage our children. He'll damage our wives. He'll damage people closest to us. And that's why not only is our relationship between God and ourselves vital, how we then transfer this to our family is also important. But I want to praise God for one thing first. We have already won. Christians, we have already won. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He has given us victory over every area that Satan wants to attack. Does that make sense? God has already given. Remember when Moses was supposed to go in the promised land, God says, I've already given you the promised land. You just have to go in and get it. Yeah, you got to fight a bit. But you need to go. I've already given to you. It's a done deal. It belongs to you. You just have to go in and get it. It's just that as we go, the promised land is representative of our Christian life. After we become Christians, we need to start getting rid of things in our life, sin in our life, that we can actually stand strong for God. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, our sins has already been broken and paid for. We do not have to pay for them again. But listen carefully, with the victory at the cross, we also have the promise of a victorious life, a life protected by God, led by the Spirit, and prayed for by the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, in this life, you have the severest enemy that hates you and I to the core, Satan himself. His hatred influences every activity he has to destroy everything that God loves. Okay? Fathers, we need to take note of it. The world's influences, the activities of this world is under the control of Satan. And Satan strives to influence for wrong those who do right. Satan strives to rob the innocence of pure ones. And Satan, through rock and roll, K-pop, J-pop, all kinds of sentimental, fleshly music, immorality, sins of the flesh to influence us away from God and to the world. When we live by what we feel and want, we become slaves to our own ways. This is very important. And fathers, please understand this. As we grow, as we look at our children, sometimes we allow the children to do what naturally comes. If they love this, we let them do it. I was in a revival meeting in Australia when I was... The evangelist actually said this. Parents, if we allow our children to do just what naturally comes in the flesh, they go straight to hell. Because the flesh only wants the things of the flesh. If we just naturally allow them to do what they want, we need to be very careful. I'm not talking about things they are not seen, like soccer and all that. That's okay. But you know, when they want to crave for things and when they jump up and down, they throw tantrums and we don't say, no, that's wrong. That's not right. If we just allow them, they go straight to hell. Why? Because there's no check. Let us begin by looking at chapter 6, verse 4. And this is very important. Fathers, in the midst of this wicked world in which we live, a sin-cursed, God-rejecting world, a world whereby there are multiple gods, the first thing Moses, as he preached this Shema in the Jewish culture, it's called the Shema to hear, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Moses made this very clear to the entire nation of Israel, hated by the fathers, you only have one God. The Lord, Jehovah, our God, Adonai, Trinity, is one Lord. In the Hebrew, this is the phrase for God, one God, our Trinity. But yet, Moses told the entire nation, remember, as you go into the promised land, fraught with corruption and immorality and wickedness of every kind, you only have one God. It is so important because if you read the history of Israel, when they went in, they begin to they're going to join into other gods. They forgot what God taught them. Fathers, don't forget this. This is a very important first principle. Fathers, you need to know in your heart there is only one God and nothing else. That one God is not your career. It is Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is not the money we have in the bank, although that's important for duties and things of life. It is not, listen, even our family. It is God. Now, please don't misunderstand. The more you love God, the more you love your family. But God must be number one. He must be that number one on the throne. Otherwise, we will be guilty of worshipping idols. Because Exodus 20, verse 1 and 2 says, thou shalt have no other gods but me. God must be first place. So what are some of the ways, therefore, as fathers, we need to, in our relationship with God, how do we then equip ourselves and then to prepare our children for the onslaught of the evil one, to ensure victory in our lives? Fathers, before I even start these 5 points, I want you to picture at a time at your deathbed when you have all your children. Perhaps you may be sick or something happened to you. Maybe 30, 40 years from now, you're very sick and it's time for you to go back to God. Would all your children be still serving God? Would all your children look at you and say, Dad, thank you. I'll be seeing you in heaven. Or would it be a situation whereby some of your children are not there because of sin? Because something happened along their ways that they weren't guided. And I dare say, God, Satan will do everything in the next 30, 40 years of our life to destroy our family. Fathers, we have a lifelong battle, but yet we have a lifelong Savior, amen, to guide us in that process. 5 principles in our relationship with Christ. Principle number one, fathers, we need to know God. Look at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. The verse is very clear. Moses says, look, fathers, commandments, statutes, and judgments, the Lord has commanded me to tell you. Fathers, how well do we know the Bible? If you are young in the faith, have a desire for it. That's important. And as you desire for it, it will help you to learn more. You know, in modern day Christianity, we have so much information available to us. And yet, Christians in the 21st century do not know half the Bible. Or even how many chapters. They don't even know what God says about certain things. So should I do this? There are many churches who teach that you need to do good works to go to heaven. Is that what the Bible teach? The Bible says what? Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. By grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Many Christians, oh, I need to do good works to go to heaven, but fathers, are we teaching our children to be good, be good, be good, be good, be good, without telling them, hey, you need Jesus in you so that you can do the good things. Because without Jesus in you, we are only governed by our sinful flesh. There is a dearth of knowledge of God. If we take a quiz on how much we know God, how many of us will actually pass? Of course, it will be greater than how many years of Christianity we have. Let's look at Jeremiah 9, verse 24. Just one verse on this. Fathers, we need to know God. We need to know God. Jeremiah 9, 24. Let him, the Bible says, that glorieth, glory in this. Isn't that, in other words, the word glory means to take pride in. If you really want to take pride in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You know, it is God's desire for every Christian to know him. Just like every father would desire the child to know him and every wife and for the husband to understand him. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 24. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Christians, how well do we know God? How well do we know God? How well do we know God and understand him? That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. How many of us actually curse God sometimes? I hope we don't do it, but sometimes Christians do. You know, we should never think evil of God because God will never do wrong to us, amen? God is a God of all good, all good. And when he does things for us, we may think it's bad, like maybe we broke a leg or something, lost your job. God always does things good for his purpose. Do you understand God's loving kindness? Isn't it so important? It's just like a child who says, Mama, you don't love me. Why? You never give me sweet. Huh? If you are young as a child, fine. But if you are grown up as a Christian, you never give me toy, you never give me. You know what it means? We don't understand God's loving kindness. Because God is lovingly kind to us. The word kindness means to do good to us. But his kindness is based on his love. Do we understand God's loving kindness? And then God is also one who exercises judgment. He makes the correct decisions. Can we trust God that he makes correct decisions in our life? That sometimes for us we think, God, how can this happen? God can explain. But are you willing to accept his explanation? God is a God that does righteously. Every time we sin, we deny the righteousness of God. Every time we sin, we forget that our Heavenly Father is a righteous God. Do we understand him? And a simple way of illustrating this is this. I know my wife. All right? I know she likes black and white. Right? She does. Okay. Last time I also remember her before we were married. She always wears this white and with long dress. She likes crackers, right? And she likes a lot of things that I may know outwardly. But you know, over years of marriage, I'm still struggling to understand her. Not that he's, because I didn't take the time to do that. We may know what a person likes outwardly, but over the years of relationship with this person, you are not to just know what he likes to eat. But you need to be able to understand in what situations the person will respond in a certain way. Does that make sense? Example, last time people will say, if I don't do this for God, I'm sure God understands. Last time I used to think that. Then I realized, yeah, God understands you didn't do it, but that's sin if you didn't do it. God understands if I steal this one time, you know, and God is very merciful. Sin is sin. That means we don't understand God's righteousness. Yeah, God will still forgive when we confess it, but sin is sin. Just like as a father who loves your child, are you going to, if you find out your teacher said, hey, if you get a call from a teacher and say, your son stole in class today, then okay, Nehemiah, once in a while, okay. Will you say that? No. All right? So in the same way, when we sin, sometimes we think, God will forgive us. Yes, he will. Get this, children, listen, I'm helping fathers now. When you do wrong, there is a judgment. Because God wants us to learn that ultimately the wages of sin is still death. But in small ways, when we do wrong, we get punished for it, is to remind us, hey, there's a bigger judgment. If we don't get it right now, when we face God, it's be too late. Okay? Fathers, do we know God? Will the decisions you make reflect your knowledge of God or reflect a knowledge of your own heart? Fathers, how well do we know God? We need to know Him intimately through His Word as we study. You know, when me and my wife were communicating before we were married, I used to read her letters, okay? And it was through the letters because I was studying overseas and she was here. So the letters were the medium by which I understand my wife. God's not with us. He's with us in our hearts, but He has given us His Word that we might understand Him. Christians, fathers, we need to know the Word of God. Number one, we need to know God. Number two, we need to fear God. Look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 2. Why do we know God? That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee this day. That thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life and that thy days may be prolonged. Moses says the purpose of you knowing God is not for you to play a fool with that knowledge, it's to fear God. Is to understand who He is, so that it will create in you a fear of God. The knowledge of God should lead to a healthy fear of God. This is the design of God and plan for everyone who will believe in the Lord Jesus. I say again, the knowledge of God should lead to a healthy fear of God. All right, now what is the fear of God? For the unbeliever, the fear of God is the fear of eternal judgment, which is eternal separation from God. You know, when you share the gospel to non-believers today, they don't even fear God that way. Can I say this? If you can imagine yourself burning forever, that is the judgment that God gives. For the non-believer, when they fear God, it must be a fear that says, hey, God is going to do this to me. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, let me just read that verse. You can jot it down. Fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That was what Jesus told His disciples. You need to have that firm conviction about who God is. But for the believer, the fear of God is something different. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 28-29. Firstly, we need to know God. Now we need to fear Him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28-29, let me just read that verse and you follow along. Why don't you just read together, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Ready? 1, 2, go. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and consuming fire. In this particular passage, verse 28, for a Christian, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That refers to our eternal promise and assurance of eternal life. A kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace. This grace is the grace given to us by God. Let us possess that grace. Many people don't. God provides the grace. We don't use it. I say again, would you agree? God gives us grace for every day. In fact, Psalms 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy, the Old Testament word mercy is grace, similar to our grace in the New Testament. Psalmist David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me when? All the days of our lives. Every day we have grace. Paul admonishes these Hebrew Christians, knowing that we have the promise of eternal life, let us possess that grace. Let us take the grace that God has given to us. It's like a student who said, Baba, I'm very hungry. Why? I never eat. Why? Got no money. Who say you got no money? I put $5 in your pocket every day. What? Don't have. I know, but I don't want to use. You use, then you won't be hungry. No, I don't want. Why? Don't know. I don't want. You know, sometimes as Christians, God gives us $5 every day in our pocket money to live the life. Of course, God gave us much more. You know, God gives us grace for every situation. Every situation. God wants us to take that grace. Wherefore, we have a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. The word acceptably means with an attitude that pleases Him, not us. With reverence. The word reverence means How do you respond to someone who is of a higher authority than you? The word reverence here has the idea of a downcast eyes. We serve God acceptably with a humble attitude, with reverence and what? Godly fear. The word godly fear means a heart and life influenced by God and His Word and His ways. In other words, my fear of God is determined by how much I know Him. Christians, if you truly know God, you fear Him. If you really know who God is, you will fear Him. In other words, for a Christian with the promise of eternal life, Paul admonishes the Christians to have the grace that God has given to us so that we can serve Him with reverence and godly fear. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. Remember Moses and the burning bush? Okay, he's a fire, he's a miraculous fire. The bush is there, but it's not burnt. But can I say this? With sin, God will destroy those who sin against Him. This reverence and awe is exactly what the fear of God means for Christians. And this is a motivating factor for us to surrender to the Creator. So the fear of God has two ages. One, we fear Him because we are afraid of what He can do to us. Just like when we are afraid of our father. Oh, if I do this, my father will spank me like, wow, I cannot sit down. So we have that fear of the judgment. But you know, if your thinking about God is merely that He will only punish us, then I'm afraid you have the wrong type of fear. Okay? Because reverential fear, I'll just read what I have so I don't lose the thought. Although it is possible to deter people from sin by being afraid of judgment, there is another principle that the children of God need to learn. And that is to learn to control their words and actions because they love God. Did you hear that? Although we fear our fathers and our mothers for disciplining us, we need to have another type of fear whereby we will control ourselves because we love our fathers and our mothers. Yeah, the last time when Mama and Papa spanked me, they were so very sad. I don't want them to be sad, so I control myself. That's the type of fear God wants us to have. That's the type of fear God wants us to have. Fathers, let me ask you, let me read it. Fear of God departs from sin, but genuine God-given New Testament fear will stay away from sin and stay close to God. Fathers, do you wink at sin? How we respond to sin in our children is reflective of how much we believe God is holy. When we believe God is all holy, our response will be totally different. Is it okay when your children break the word of God? Do you get uncomfortable when you break the word of God? When you lie, do your conscience bear heavy on you? Are you following closely to Christ and loving Him? Many of us say we fear God. Let us truly be fathers who fear God. There was a little boy who was visiting his grandparents, okay, and then this little boy was playing, he was given his slingshot. You know the slingshot? No, we don't know. Slingshot is a little rubber band. Then after that, with two sticks like this, then you put a stone there and then you throw and then you hit a bird. You know? Okay? Like kind of like David. So this little boy was having his first slingshot. And so he was throwing and finally there was one time he was missing all the things he wanted, but finally he managed to hit a duck. It was the duck of the grandparents. And they killed the duck. And I don't know why, but this story, the name is Johnny. So I'm Johnny. This Johnny, I killed the grandpa's duck. But he didn't tell. But he was afraid because he did something wrong. He killed the duck that belongs to the grandma. Okay? And then as he was looking around, he saw Sally, the sister, the younger sister. Younger or older? The sister, okay? And Sally had seen it all, but she kept quiet. But she smiled. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, will you wash the dishes?" Sally actually said, "Oh, Johnny told me he wanted to help me to wash the dishes." Remember the duck? So Johnny said, quietly go over and wash. So in his heart, he was fearful of the punishment, so he kept quiet. Then, later on, during dinner time, same thing happened. Okay? So would you help me to, grandma asked Sally, Sally, can you come and help me to make dinner? Oh, Johnny said that he's going to help you to make dinner. So Sally was just happily to, and this went on for a few days until Johnny cannot stand it anymore.
Say, Grandma, sorry. I killed your duck. Sorry.
You know what Grandma said? I know. I saw it. But I'm just wondering how long you are going to hold on to that fear. Because that kind of fear traps you. Christians, you know how much God loves you. Do you realize how much Jesus loves us? That even when Peter, who denied Jesus, Jesus can forgive. Christians, we need to have that. Fathers, we need to have the fear that God, I love you, and therefore I'm not going to do that. Fathers, God, I love you, and therefore I'm going to change my ways because I know that is the wrong way. Fathers, how much do you fear God? A fear that is not generated only by what God can do to us. Of course, God can judge us. But you know what? A fear that says, God, I love you. I'm sorry I'm doing this. A fear, a reverence, a respect, an honor of God. Fathers, how much do you fear God? Point number 3, verse 3. We need to obey God. We need to love Him. We need to fear Him. We need to obey Him. Deuteronomy 6, verse 3. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. We need to observe to do what God has told us to do. Moses' instruction to Israel was to hear and then observe to do the word of God, so that the things will be well with them. The word well means so that things will be happy, so that things will be successful, and so that things, and they, as they obey God, will benefit your family. Sometimes dads, we are called upon to make decisions that our family don't like, but we know it's the right thing. Amen? Sometimes we have to do that because, hey, time for church. I'm sorry, you have to stop playing now. We need to prepare and go. Children don't, please don't do that. Just listen to dad. They have to make decisions that will honor God. Does that make sense? And dads, don't give in. You know, say, well, it's time. Of course, in a gentle but firm way, say, well, it's time to go. Let's do what we need to do. And children just follow that. Because God told dads to obey Him. God told dads to obey Him. And that's important. The word well means to be happy, successful, and to benefit the family. When we obey God, we bless the family. Did you know that? Because when we obey God, our interaction with God is open. God's blessings can flow. But when we disobey God, the blessings is stopped. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. God's ears are not heavy that He cannot hear, neither His hand shortened He cannot save, but your iniquity has separated between you and your God. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Sin always separates us from God. But when we obey God, the channel of blessing is still open. And therefore, our families can be blessed. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua was a keen, avid learner from Moses. What did he say? Joshua 1 verse 8. Those who know recite together, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The secret of a successful life is the word of God. That's what, and till the day I die, I'll preach that because that's what God says. If you want a successful, prosperous, happy, blessed life, follow God's word to the core. Because here is what Moses said. And you know what Jesus also said? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. John 15, verse 5. Sorry, John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. We need to obey God. Our obedience is an essential key to our prosperity and growth in the Christian life. Fathers, our obedience to the word of God is absolutely essential. Just like a commander on the field, when you're fighting the battle, you better listen to your high HQ because they are giving you information that you don't have. If you don't follow, you can die. Alright? We are to observe it and to do it, to pay attention to it. Fathers, how obedient are we to the word of God? Point number 4, we need to love God. We need to know Him, we need to fear Him, we need to obey Him, we need to love Him. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 says, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. All thy heart means sincerely, with everything inside of you. That is what Moses said to the children of Israel. Fathers, you are to love God as your number one priority. In every decision you make, God must be the number one priority. In every time you spend your money, you need to think how it will cater to your needs when God tells you what to do. Everything that you do, every decision you make, every plan you have, every ambition you have, God must be number one. Loving God sincerely from everything inside, because the heart is the center of man. And everything that comes through has to come through the heart. That's why in the Sunday school we're talking about out of the heart comes the issues of life. If your heart is not centered on God, fathers, your decisions will go contrary to what God says. That's why we are to love God with all our heart, number one. Number two, we are to love God with all our soul. The idea there is to love God intelligently. God doesn't want fanatics. God wants to love Him intelligently. Every decision we make, our emotions, it has to do with our thinking. It has to do with full submission to the Lord Jesus. Even the thoughts we have about Jesus, thoughts we have about life, is it under control of God? We need to love God with our mind, our soul, and then with our might. What does might mean? It has to do with our body or our strength. No matter how tired we are, God, I'm going to try for you because I'm going to love you with all my strength. When we serve God, God, I'm going to do my best for you. When I think on things of God, I'm going to do my best for God. Doesn't God deserve the best? No, He gave the best for us. That's why Moses told the fathers, look, you have to love God with everything of, with everything you have. You know, as we reflect on our own Christian life, Christians, you know, myself included, God needs to really help us to love God with all our hearts. When a person loves God, God doesn't want us to love Him in a fanatical fashion, but in an intelligent way. The more we know God, the more we will love Him. Amen? The more we know God and who He is, the more we will love Him. Every one of us has friends, and the more we know a friend, the more we will love that friend. Of course, you need to define what a friend is, okay? A friend who is one who does what is needful for us, not what we want. A genuine Bible friend is someone who does what is needful for us, not what we want. And that's important. That's why as parents sometimes we have to make decisions that our children don't like. Because we know in our experience and with God's help, it is good for them. So, does God do what is needful for us? Does God always do what is necessary for us? Yes, He does. Okay? And so, is what He is doing for us always what we want? No. Do we still love Him even though He may take everything away from us? You know, those who don't really know God will say, God, you are so unfair, you know. But you know, if you genuinely love God. Remember Job? Job lost everything. But in Job chapter 1, you know what the Bible says? He actually worshipped God and he says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Even I have lost everything, I still have my God. Christians, the more you love God, a Christian who genuinely loves God will never backslide. Or you may stumble, you may be discouraged, but you will never fall away from God. Fathers, you know why that's important? The moment you fall away, your children will start following. How many families were broken because fathers decided, I'm not going to walk with God anymore? And the children just follow? But after a while, when they start thinking, well, seems that church is not so important anymore, God's not important anymore, so why should it be important to me? You know, that's an encouragement and challenge for us as fathers. We need to love God with all our heart. And finally, to cherish the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6 verse 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, not in thy brain. Because if it's in thy brain, your brain can be challenged by things that come in. But when it's in your heart, you've settled it in your heart. Is the word of God in your heart? Can you remember what you read in the Bible last night? Or yesterday morning? Singaporeans are very busy, so we tend to get forgetful. But you know what? The more we have God's word in our minds and hearts. Fathers, we need to be in a consistent time in God's word. We need to take instruction from Him daily. Because daily we'll have different struggles. And unless you know some instructions, okay, you need to be firm today, you need to ask God for forgiveness here or whatever, you need to constantly be working with God. Cherish God's word. Everything you learn, hang on to every word. As long as it's in God's word, hang on to it. Because God promises if it is always in your heart. God's word is life. The Bible says the entrance of thy word giveth life. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119. God says thy word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. If you have God's word, you have light for your way. You have clearness of thought. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16 verse 3. When God says, when you give me your works, I will establish your thoughts. But if you want to go your own way, then all the best to you. God obviously will be there, but you know, we need to tell God, your word is so important, I'm going to keep it. And whatever that comes in, I'm going to govern it by your word. Because that is stability. Because Jesus also said, Matthew chapter 7, what did he say? If any man heareth the sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Fathers, do you want your house to be on rock or on sand? God's word must be preeminent. Must be preeminent. How do we keep the word of God in our hearts? By frequent study. There is no other way, by the way. There's no shortcut. You cannot buy CD 2 minutes instant devotion. I've seen that before. You've got instant noodles, instant coffee, now you've got instant devotion. 3 minutes for the busy executive. By the way, if you spend 3 minutes with God, that's all you get from Him, 3 minutes. And it's not that God don't want to spend time if you are too busy for Him. I'm never going to develop a good friendship with my children. If I just spend 3 minutes with them. How many of you fathers are very busy? Don't have to pull up. We are very busy, right? Do you know one thing? We absolutely have to. I'm learning. Tell ourselves, stop work. Shut down computer. Leave. Get out of the room. Close the door. Go. Okay, this 20 minutes is with my daughter or with my son. You know, it's absolutely essential. We need to have that undivided time for our children. Singaporeans, we are very busy. We need to have that time. Fathers, don't assume our children will grow. Don't assume your children will grow in Christ. Just like I cannot assume my daughter will know a particular topic very well if I just give him a book to read. Someone has to guide. Someone has to follow. That's where the father comes in. You know what? Even more in the road of life, there are many things our children will be facing for the first time. But God has given us experience, His word, and also the experience we have as wisdom to guide them. Fathers, we need to cherish God's word as the very first thing in our lives so that we can guide our children. By meditation, by reading, by obedience to God's word, and by ensuring that every decision and everything we do is never bound by external principles, but always bound by God's word. As we close, I just want to give you one final verse. Let's turn to Isaiah 66 and verse 2. Isaiah 66 verse 2. Fathers, will you be this man that God is looking for? This is God's word. God inspired His word. And He tells us His heart. This is the man that God is looking for. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2. Are we all ready? Isaiah 66 verse 2. Do you know where it is? The first of the major prophets, okay? Ready? 1, 2, go. For all those things had mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God told the children of Israel, in verse 1, if you look, why are you building this temple for me? This temple, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool, you know? Why are you building this temple for me? But you know, God says, all these things is my hand. I'm looking for one thing. This is God's heart, by the way. This is what God is telling us. I'm looking for one person, this man, who has a humble heart, a broken, a poor and contrite spirit, a humble heart, and someone who takes my words seriously. That's why he trembled at my word. 圣子道, you know, in Chinese. Once the emperor gave an edict, everyone will say yes. God is looking for a father who will say, God, I'm before you. Lord, what is your will? Yes, Lord. I will do as you say. We live in a world today so influenced by worldly philosophy. Fathers, will you hear God's word first? Will you obey His word first? Because when you do, your wife can see the difference. Just as Moses was in the presence of God, and when Moses came, and people couldn't look. Why? Because God's glory was transferred to Moses. Transferred in the sense, he shone, his face shone, that they had to put a veil over him. Why? Because Moses was in the presence of God. Fathers, when you are in the presence of God on a regular basis, people can see a difference. Your attitudes will change, your words will change, even your, the way you manage your time will change. Things start to change. Why? Because you are in the presence of the life changer, the Lord Jesus. And you know what? Not only the people, your wife will see this, your children will see the change. Baba last time used to be very hot-tempered. Now, wow, what happened now? When God takes control, you know what? And then we will turn the children's heart back to God. Fathers, do you know God? Do you fear Him? Do you obey Him? Do you love Him? And do you cherish His word? This is your relationship with God. Let's bow for our prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this precious word. I pray that the challenge will be in our hearts. Lord, we know that there are so many things in our lives that we really, really need your help. And I'm asking you, Lord, to make these words real to us. I pray for every father now. I'm sure in their hearts they are burdened for their families. God, knowing as friends, as brothers, even as pastor, knowing every brethren here, Lord, I know their heart is heavy for their families. Lord, I'm asking you to give them a double portion of your grace and strength to make decisions in their own lives that will not only, that will mainly impact their relationship with you. Because, Lord, when our relationship with you is right, you will then teach us how to influence others for Christ. We know holiness cannot be transferred. We know love of God in our lives cannot be transferred. It can be shared, but Lord, it cannot be transferred to another person. Lord, we need your help. Firstly, to make sure we have the holiness, the love of God in our lives. I'm praying for every father, Lord, that they will make decisions that will change their relationship with you. To be more faithful in certain areas. To deal with sin. To change thoughts that are wrong. To love your word more. To fear you more. To have the proper fear of God. A fear that is motivated by our love for you. Because you, we know you love us first. Lord, thank you so much for fathers. I pray you bless everyone. And for the others, Lord, who are listening to the message, I pray, Father, if for those whose fathers are not here or maybe overseas, Lord, they would grasp the principles for their own hearts. That, Lord, they would begin to learn to know you and to obey you and to fear you and to love you and to cherish your word. Father, I know every Christian knows this already. Lord, I pray that you will make it a reality in our lives. So, Father, I commit every father into your hand. You being the Heavenly Father knows our very need. I pray and lift them up before the throne, including myself. The Lord, you will take every father and, Father, walk them through this life with your grace and strength. Lord, I pray for every wife that they would have the heart of submission as the fathers do their best to walk with you, that the wives will do their best to submit and to obey and to love their husbands. and pray for every child that will have a heart of love as well, of submission to both mom and dad, that the family might be strong. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do, and as we sing this closing hymn, I pray that this truth will be real in our hearts. If there's someone who is struggling, I pray, Lord, they will be honest with you first, and perhaps we'll speak to someone else who will be able to help them. Lord, we love you. Help us to show that love, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we just sing a closing hymn, Faithful Man. I will sing it slowly. And fathers, let's have this as a personal prayer for ourselves, Faithful Men. I think we have something special after this, right? Let's sing this. Wait, we're singing a closing hymn first? Let's sing this as we anchor this, all right, in our hearts. Let's sing it majestically, firmly in our hearts. I am looking to Jesus, giving all in the race, pressing upward to gain the heavenly prize. Faithful men are my witness, who has struggled and died, and they watch from the grandstand in the skies. Faithful men have gone before us, faithful men who fight and stand. I want to follow in their footsteps, guided by those faithful men. Jacob joined with the faithful, Joseph followed behind, Moses ran with the mighty men of old. There were David and Dan, then came Peter and Paul, and they chant as they run on streets of gold. Faithful men have gone before us, faithful men who fight and stand. I want to follow in their footsteps, guided by those faithful men. Amen. Let's just close in a word of prayer, right? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you make every father here a faithful man. Every father here a faithful man. Lord, to follow your footsteps, first of all, and to follow your precious word that is a light for our lives. And I pray for every young man who is not married, Lord, that you will give them a strong desire to be a faithful man as well, following the footsteps of their fathers. Father, I pray for people, Lord, whose dads may not be around, and yet we have the Heavenly Father to look to. And I pray, Father, that there will not be an excuse not to follow you. That, Father, every man, every male will be strong and will be faithful to the end. For the sake of our next generation, I pray for every mother to be the lady that they need to be for you, to support this man, and every child to grow up in the love and obedience and admonition of God. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you are teaching us today. I pray, Lord, we will bring these thoughts home. They will fire our hearts. We will make the decisions, Lord, that will influence ourselves, our relationship with you, our families. And Father, by your grace, as people come to ambassador, as we reach out, Lord, they will see the love of Jesus as well. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the activities to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.